Welcome to Behind the Lore, your behind-the-scenes look into the research that it takes to make each episode of Lore Podcast. I'm Allie Steed, and today I'm sitting down with Cassandra D'Alba to record the research she did for episode 247, Subterranean. In this episode, Cassandra and I are going to tell you some spooky bedtime stories, discuss what we'd put in our cave, and dig into all of the family gossip. Your support keeps us going, so once again, we're thrilled to have you here with us. Please join us for a new episode of Behind the Lore. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Lore. We are continuing on with our Cassandra extravaganza. This week, we are focusing on the Lemp Mansion. How you doing, Cass?
Doing pretty good. Excited to talk about some ghosts.
Yeah. This is truly, like, it feels so much like a classic lore haunted house kind of story. And I think this was actually one of Aaron's from Writer's Room last year.
It was, yeah. And I snagged this to research because I actually had already researched the Lemp Mansion for Haunted Road.
Which... Oh, so you knew everything already.
Yeah. I mean, I got like even more into it on this one because like it had been over a year. So honestly, there was like new information online, like more people had written articles.
Love that.
But yeah,
it's always a good feeling.
Yeah. So I had already I was familiar with the background. I had like gone into all these newspaper articles already. So this was like a fun one to kind of do like a, you know, necessarily like maybe like even deeper dive.
Yeah.
But if you are somebody who's listening to this and you do like haunted houses, I would really recommend Haunted Road if you're not already listening.
Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10 recommend. Great haunted house stories. We've had a couple different team members working on it, but you are you're the main the main researcher now. You're the main man.
At this point, yeah, I think I did all of last season.
Hell yeah,
man. Yeah, plug. If you liked this episode and you want to hear Amy Bruni interview someone who has investigated the Lemp Mansion, click on over to Haunted Road.
Yeah. I am wildly intrigued by what the ghost hunters have found because you had some pretty interesting stuff in the outline. Plus, you kind of live on newspapers.com and you just occasionally resurface with the most bizarre headlines I have ever seen. So, like, I'm not surprised you found some more good stuff.
God, I love it there. The old ads, they're so good.
They're so funny. They're so funny. And this is not a shameless plug at all, but if you guys can get into newspapers.com, just put advertisements in and just see what pops up.
Yeah, honestly, the best part of this job is having unlimited access to newspapers.com because they finally figured out that I was, like, making burner accounts to sign up for 7-day free trials whenever I needed something for my old job.
Oh, no.
And, like, banned me. But now I'm in, baby.
You
can't get
banned
rid of me.
From newspapers.com. Wow, look at you, rebel.
Right? But, yeah, I also love newspapers.com because it's such, like, a... You know how sometimes you forget that, like, so many different historical things were happening at once? Like, I'll be like, researching a ghost, and it's like, the headline right next to it is like, Kaiser Wilhelm, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, God, okay.
Oh, right. This is also happening.
Yeah.
The world is not focused on this fight between Nandor Fodor and
Harry Price, yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, a shameless plug for newspapers.com, who does not sponsor us and gives us no money.
Oh, my God. We give them money. But, like, what if they did sponsor us?
Come on, newspapers.com. We can make this work.
Yeah, we're your biggest fans.
Okay, so digging into the Lemp Mansion, I was reading through your research and the script, and I understand from the business side of things because the Lemp family were brewers and they need the space and the cold and everything in like early 1900s. It's not like there was a ton of refrigeration widely available. But would you move out of your apartment with your extremely chunky cat and recording equipment and go for the property that's attached to a massive cave? Because, well, actually... You might not be the right person to ask because I feel like a certain kind of person works at this company and most of us would say, yeah, I'm going for the cave. But it just gives haunted vibes even before all of the bad stuff happens with the Lemp family.
Oh, yeah, I'm going for the cave. I am very scared of cave diving. That is terrifying to me. Never
that
in my life.
That seems like just the worst idea anyone's ever come up with.
Yeah, or any of the kind of spelunking where you could, like, end up upside down and die upside down in a cave. No. But, like,
oh,
a
yeah,
cave,
you read
can,
about
like,
that guy, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But a cave you can like walk around upright in, that just kind of like spooky scary.
Right,
like
that's fine.
That's very nice. I would love that under my house.
Yeah. But if I have to like turn into a snake and wiggle to get somewhere, I don't like that.
No.
No, bad vibes. Mm-hmm. Immediate bad vibes. So what would you put in your mythical cave? Because apparently the family had like not just the stuff for the brewery, but like between the cave and the house at large, like they had the movie theater and the auditorium and the bowling alley and the maybe swimming pool that nobody's sure actually existed.
Swimming pool is very debatable. I found a lot of conflicting information about swimming pool.
I just feel like it wouldn't be that hard to tell if there was a swimming pool there or not. Like there's even when you fill them in, there's still an outline unless there's flooring on top of it.
So what I think happened based on all these different things I read is that there was like a big like runoff pool for the beer cooling. Like there was like water runoff. And so it was like essentially like it could have been like a wading pool type thing, but it wasn't like full like Olympic style swimming pool. Like there was just like a puddle down there. I don't really know, because like a lot of the cave stuff is very like, I read a lot of different people's like strong arguments. When I was researching Haunted Road, I actually like called the Lent Mansion to be like, can you tell me about this? Because people are saying it doesn't exist. And they're like, it definitely exists. But that's what they're paid to say, I guess.
Going straight to the source and we're still not sure.
Yep. So, yeah, I feel like I love Party Cave. I love the idea of Party Cave. I would love to have a Party Cave.
Yeah, Party Cave would be fun. Like disco ball, strobe lights, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. Like, just, like, decorated. Like, a really, like, vibey, like, weird, like, yeah. I think that would be cool.
I'm picturing something that's very Flintstones, I'm not gonna lie. Dinosaurs operate everything in your party cave for me from now to eternity in this weird fantasy that we're creating.
You see, I'm picturing more, like, Victorian opium den energy.
Oh, that's also a good vibe.
Like a lot of like low lighting, like spooky, mysterious, like tapestries. Well, I guess your tapestries would get damp. I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to have like, if I had a cave, I feel
you'd
like I would
to
need
have a
like
a dehumidifier.
Yeah. Or like
probably several
cave staff, like someone to clean the cave. Like, you know how like you have to like pay someone to clean your pool or like do it yourself.
Yeah. You'd have to have your cave cleaners and decontaminators and all that. So, if anybody's looking for a job when Cassandra strikes it rich,
yeah,
we know you're going to need cave staff.
Cave staff. So. Mm-hmm.
That would be a fun thing to have on a business card. Yeah, so if you ever hit the lottery, we got options.
So true.
Better than your marching band apartment.
Oh, my God. Never again.
Never again. That's
the first question I'm asking a realtor next time.
Do marching bands rehearse outside of this apartment? So what was your favorite part of the Lent Mansion? Because this place, first of all, is very funky, not including the maybe pool and the bowling alley and the movie theater. But it you get into some pretty good description in your research outline about everything from, like, the trim to the fireplace. Like, everything's in here. I love the bathroom, like, as this incredible source of pride for them. Mm-hmm. And, like, for the time period, it's pretty cool.
Right, yeah. Yeah, at the time, that was, like, a real flex.
Yeah.
But I think there's this one thing that it said where, like, they had an atrium full of, like, exotic plants and birds.
Yeah,
and that
that's
feels very
awesome.
Cool to me. Like, as someone who is a little bit suspicious of the concept of pet bird, like, it seems... Mm-hmm. I've met people who are really into their pet birds, and no offense to our listeners, but some of you are a little strange about them. Some of you just let them fly all over your apartment and poop wherever they want to, and that's...
Yeah, I super hate that idea.
Yeah, but if you have, like, a dedicated, like, atrium, it feels to me like, you know, like the room in the zoo where you walk through and there's birds flying around and there's, like, mm-hmm. plants everywhere. Like, that's kind of what it feels like to me.
Kind
and, like,
of a nice vibe.
In your house? Zoo in house? Like, that seems cool. But, like, separate from where you, like, sit down.
Separate from wherever the food is.
Yes, yes.
Would you just have birds in your magical atrium, or would you have other animals, too? Because I'm assuming your chonky cat is not going to be allowed in there. I don't think.
No, I've seen her look at the mourning dove that comes to our bird feeder. She's not allowed to be within striking distance of a bird.
I have great faith in the birds. I'm not saying I don't think your little lady could hunt. I'm just saying she's not going to get the most amount of launch.
She, so. She's tall, though, is the thing. Like, she's a long cat. That's true.
She is. She is.
But, yeah. No, yeah. I think it would be a bird-only zone.
Yep. Yep. And it would be kind of, like, because with other animals wandering around, you run the risk of, like, them escaping into the house. But at least with birds, as long as you shut the door quickly enough, like...
Right. You're only looking at, like, one quadrant. Like, I was like, maybe a snake would be cool. But, like, a snake goes under. You know, yeah. A snake goes under. Yeah.
Snake would get out too easily. Mm-hmm. Snake and tank, fine. Snake at large, mm-mm.
Maybe less fine, yeah.
Probably not. And for anyone who's curious, the bathroom was hopping because it had a massive glass-enclosed freestanding shower that they had seen in an Italian hotel, and they brought it back to St. Louis for his personal use. There was also a barber chair and a sink with glass legs. So I would want a bathtub, but this is a pretty sweet bathroom.
Yeah, I guess to be fair, freestanding glass shower still feels very fancy to me in 2024.
Oh, it is still super fancy. Yeah. I also love the concept that he went on vacation, saw this shower, and was like, I'm taking you home with me. Like, this is the thing I'm stealing from the hotel. Not the bathrobes or the coffee cups or anything. It's the shower.
I would assume he bought it. I would assume he didn't just, like, take it out piece by piece under his coat.
You know what? If that's a story that's lost to time, that is a true tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're missing a lot. So at the beginning of the episode, you talk about the Lemp's successes and that they came over to America, or more specifically, it was the great patriarch who came over, Johann Adam Lemp, who came over. But he left his family behind, which was something that was very common for most immigrants who maybe didn't have, like, a support system here where they could bring their family, or they just didn't have the money, and they would either send money home and go back themselves, or they would bring the family over with them. And you talk about him bringing his son over once the business gets going, but, like, did he bring his wife and other kids?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Seriously?
No.
He married all an the American success wife. And he left has,
yeah.
them there?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is what I remember of this. And I feel like it didn't even make it into the outline because it was like, this is, like, not that important to the structure of the episode.
But yeah,
I
think, but, like, the tea.
I think the deal with her is she eventually divorces him on grounds of abandonment. And, like, the German wife, and she, like, puts shit in the papers about it. I think this is her.
Good for her.
Yeah. But, yeah, he, like, marries someone else in America.
Oh, my God. Because I was wondering, because you didn't mention it in the outline. I was like, well, maybe she knows. He left his wife, Justina, and two children in Germany, brings his son over. I'm assuming the other child was a daughter.
I think she was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's gross. That's gross. And in your outline, like, originally it's pitched as very American dream, but you have one sentence as to speculation for why he might have actually left Germany. Can you tell us what was going on there that he fully abandoned his wife and children and then just left them?
Oh, yeah, the thought is that he was fleeing his debts. The thought is he had, like, a failed restaurant business and was like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to leave my wife to deal with the debt collectors.
What a great guy. What a complete piece of crap. Wow. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah, that's a pretty bad vibe from this dude. But he brings his son over, he gets the business going, and his kids get married, and they become extremely wealthy, and they live their lives. But one of the things I found really, really interesting is Billy's wife, Lillian,
mm-hmm.
who only wears one color her entire life. Only wears, what was it, lavender?
Yep. I love her. I love her so much. I also love that
such a mood.
Aaron snuck two Taylor Swift references into the script of this episode, and one of them is Lavender Haze about her, which, like, how could you not? Oh, my God.
You guys, I really wish you could have seen the Slack the day Aaron was trying to, like, he vaguely knew what the reference should be, but he didn't know the wording. And so he comes in, he's like, it's Lavender this, right? And we're like, Aaron, what are you talking about? And then it was just a deluge of Taylor Swift references, some of which I think have actually made it into future episodes. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if you talk about Easter eggs, listen closely. Really.
Yep. We have Taylor Swift in a couple of our episodes, and yeah, if you know, you know. If not, I don't think it's obvious enough that someone's gonna be upset about it. So
Dad's, Brad's, and Chad's.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Right before Super Bowl Sunday and everything. So what color do you like enough that you think you could wear it every single day for the rest of your life? Like, you could commit that hard.
Honestly, I feel like I do wear black every single day.
I feel like black doesn't count. It's such a utilitarian color.
But it's like the only, like, I was looking at my t-shirt drawer and I was like, oh, I like just wear these black ones over and over. And I wash them and then I put them back in the drawer. And like the back half of this drawer just does not see the light of day.
So how happy were you when we got the Jeff sweatshirts that they were all black?
Oh, thrilled. I wear mine all the time because it's black.
Yeah. Yep. Plus, people need to know that, you know, you could split the atom.
Mm-hmm. I am the fifth dimension. I am the eighth wonder of the world. I say that all the time. From the walls. Totally. Like a mongoose.
Well, you have to have a certain je ne sais quoi to make a lore episode. And apparently it's speaking from the walls like a mongoose. Okay. So getting back to Billy and Lillian's drama, because, like, we covered a lot of the hauntings in the episode itself. There isn't too much in your outline about the ghosts that didn't make it to the episode proper. What we do have a lot of in your outline is so much family drama. And my God, Billy was working my last nerve by the end of this episode. Like, I super hate the prenup, and you go into pretty specific detail about the divorce itself. And you mentioned in your outline that it was scandal ridden, and my God, you weren't kidding. Can you tell us about this whole process? Because it is messy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, again, shout out to newspapers.com, because this was all over the St. Louis papers. Like, they were covering this trial. There was so much I did not put in this outline.
Amazing.
But yeah, he is awful. Like, everything that comes up in court about him is just like, oh, you're a monster. Like, he was shooting neighborhood cats for sport. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, she had to stop him from shooting a black butler because, quote unquote, Billy thought he was being insolent, which is just like such classic racism.
That's
like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
So gross. That's
it's so
gross.
Bad. So he's a real piece of work. And then his like counter is like, here's a picture of her smoking a cigarette. She's an unfit mother. Like, and
wow,
she's like, he pushed
God.
Me down the stairs. Like,
yeah. In here it says that Billy actually hired a private detective to follow Lillian and like read her mail.
Yeah, he read her mail, and then she had written a letter to quote unquote a dear little pal, and he claimed this was like a man she was having an affair with, and then she claimed that she'd left the letter as a trap to see if he was going through her mail. It's like,
I have to hand it to her. She's doing the best she can with a pretty crappy situation.
Yeah, she is. And like, she did get custody of her son. Like, she did.
Yeah, I mean,
she won.
Yeah. Everything that's coming out in this divorce hearing, like, What about the prenup, though? Because that's a pretty, it's very specific.
Oh, yeah. It was like, was it a, yeah. So she like, she claims she's tricked into signing this. That, like, it was like folded so she couldn't see what she was signing. But she said she signed was tricked into signing a document that said that, like, he had full control over how the children were like raised in like religion and like instruction and like everything. And so Billy claimed that she was trying to raise their kid as a Catholic, and he didn't want that.
Oh, nothing worse you can be than a Catholic.
I mean, that also just seems like the kind of like conversation you should have before you get married.
Yeah, I feel like that should probably come up somewhere. And yeah, it says moral, religious, and collegiate teaching, direction, and instruction of all children born of our marriage. So basically, he wants to have a say in everything, but I'm assuming he's not going to put that much effort into the actual raising of the child, because, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was surely not going to be happening. I'm sure he had a nanny no matter what, but bad vibes. I do sincerely appreciate Lillian pulling what I consider a real power move, and after what I can only assume was decades of only wearing lavender, she wore black to the final day of the trial.
It's so good. It's so good. It's I love her.
How often, like, you dug into the newspapers, how often did that little factoid pop up? Because I'm assuming the lavender thing was something, like, pretty common knowledge.
Oh, yeah. No, that like, definitely came up a lot. Like, everyone was like, she's wearing black. Oh, my God. Like, this would have been all over, like, Twitter today. You know, like, this was such a big deal at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's actually, I feel like when I was researching, I found, like, there's, like, a museum that still has some of her lavender dresses. There were, like, pictures of them online, which is so cool.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go digging for that because I'm really curious. And I think lavender's, like, a really nice, versatile color. You can do a lot with it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite colors.
Without it looking too same-same, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Billy is not the only one with marital issues. My God. You could say that about, I think, most of the people in this episode, I think. The marital issues episode. How not to treat your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So we move on to Elsa Lemp and her husband, Thomas Wright. And you said in your outline, technically, it was ruled as a self-inflicted gunshot wound in 1920. She was 37. She was not in good health. And you mentioned that there was some skepticism about that because some people thought her husband killed her. Can you tell us a little more about that? Because you have a quote from William Jr. that is it's kind of sus. Like the family knew something.
Oh yeah, when he was called to the scene, like it's alleged that he said, "This is the Lemp family for you," which is just like a wild thing to say when your sister just died.
Yeah.
But yeah, so her husband was actually, she was married to him for the second time. Like, not second husband. She had previously divorced him, citing mental anguish and abandonment, and then remarried him, like, recently.
What?
I don't know. But then,
why?
He allegedly, this husband, waited half an hour after he found her to call anyone. And then
a giant red flag.
Yeah. And then like a few of the like household servants, like kind of like their stories changed about what had happened. So like it's not impossible that this one was not a suicide. But on the other hand, there are so many suicides in this family that that's not like this wild thing to have happened, unfortunately.
Yeah. It seems like there's a pretty, not that we can diagnose anyone from the past. That's technically not good historical practice, but seems to be a pretty significant history of mental illness within the family itself, depression at the very least. But yeah, you say in your outline she was suffering from indigestion, nausea, severe depression, and insomnia from her stomach pains, which cannot possibly make for a good combination, especially when you just remarried your abusive husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you did also note that at the time she was St. Louis's richest woman, being a member of this wealthy family. Do we know if Thomas got anything after her death? I'm hoping that after the first time they divorced, she would have changed her will. And
I don't know. That is a good point, and I hate it.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, I don't know if there's any way we could know because this feels like a very private family records kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're mostly operating off of, like, scholarship and
newspapers. Which I didn't really dig into that on newspapers.com, actually, because, like, again, there's so much family history. I had to, like, be like, what's actually important for Aaron when he writes this?
You have to. We do, like, have to cut this stuff down because we have been requested many times, Sam, to stop turning over 50 page outlines. There's just so much historical stuff, you guys. We get so excited about it. Mm-hmm. We can't help it. So I went, the last death, or rather the last suicide, something caught my eye, and I went back through and reread your outline, and they all shot themselves with a 38 caliber revolver. Is this the same gun? Do we know if it was the same 38 every single time?
I do not know. I don't know that much about, like, gun history. That could be an interesting, like, was this just the most common, like, consumer popular gun at the time? I don't know. But.
Huh. Because I feel like that's way too much of a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
It was always a 38 revolver, and I do not understand, after the first person died, why in God's name you'd keep it.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, if you as a listener want to do a deep dive and then tell us.
Please,
yeah,
I'm
again,
so
at
curious.
Some point you have to stop researching and turn in an outline, unfortunately for me.
We could work on these for 6 months sometimes,
oh my God.
You guys. No kidding. No kidding. So one of the other things in your outline that didn't quite make it into the episode was that it wasn't like the Lemps were obviously big name brewers, but there was a kind of like a coalition of other famous brewers that were attached to this family. We talk about one of the daughters marrying a Pabst, mm-hmm. But there was also an interesting connection to Anheuser-Busch. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh yeah, so they're buddies with the Busch family, and Adolphus Busch is a pallbearer at, I think, William Sr.'s funeral, and then the president at the time of Anheuser-Busch, August Busch, who I think is Adolphus's son. Everyone, the names are so bad for me.
Well, it doesn't help that we've got about four Williams and one of them happens to be a Billy, but I can never remember which William's son the Billy is.
Right. Yeah, no, this is it's like British aristocracy levels of everyone having the same name. But anyway, 30 years to the day after William Sr. commits suicide by revolver, so does August Busch. 30 years to the day, which is just awful. Yeah.
Like, do we know if it was a 38?
I don't know. I don't know. I just wrote revolver here. Yeah. But it could have been.
Yeah. Now this is gonna kind of, I might have to dig into this later. Sketchy things in America's wealthiest families. It's kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. And because they have all this money, obviously people kind of come out of the woodwork trying to get their hands on some of that money. And there are a couple of Lemp imposters. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Oh,
they're shockingly recent, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So actually, there's some good long reads. And I think St. Louis Magazine about the 2010 imposter, Andrew Paulson, because people believed that this guy was real for like a couple years. Like, people legit thought that he was a Lemp descendant. He had these like family heirlooms, like he had a key to the mausoleum and stuff like that. And I forget how he got them. I forget like what like path he came to possess these from. But he was like really milking it and like making money off it. But like people really believed him for a while. And yeah, I put almost none of this in the outline because I was like, this is not relevant.
You still have to cut it.
But yeah, if you're interested in this, it's like a fascinating like twisty tale. But also like, over 100 years before, in 1901, a man walks into a St. Louis jewelry store, says he's Billy Lemp, buys a huge diamond brooch, and tells them to build a Lemp brewery, and then he pawns it and is never seen again, and it was not Billy. So this is like, there's like a history of this happening.
I admire the balls on this guy, because, well, in 1901, you kind of can do that, because it's not like you, like, photographs aren't super widespread, so you don't really know what anyone looks like. You just know the name. The same thing happened to one of the Vanderbilts. An uncle was accused of impersonating his nephew because they had the same name.
Oh.
So it was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you telling us about this.
Yeah, it was a thing that kind of happened, but it's pretty wild. And I feel like it's... I don't know. I feel like since DNA, this has gotten a lot harder, but...
Even since, like, photo ID.
Yeah, a lot harder with that for sure. But pretending to be, like, a lost heir and stuff like that doesn't really work when you can be like, hey, we're going to go get a sample from these bones, and then you're going to come into a lab, and we're going to swab you within an inch of your life.
Right, or even, like, we're going to Google you.
Bare minimum. So the Lemp Mansion itself goes through several iterations after the Lemp family is no more. And I have to say, I wouldn't have guessed pediatrics ward. I feel like that is, even if the mansion wasn't haunted, it's still just a bad vibe.
Yeah, it's
not great for healing.
It's a weird vibe. I think the deal was like the hospital was overcrowded and this building was nearby and empty. And they were like, we got to put these sick kids somewhere, man.
They got to go somewhere. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that I would be enjoying my recovery time in like the haunted suicide mansion.
No, because like everybody knows about the Lemp family at this point. Like it's pretty widespread folklore locally anyway. And there's all these rumors about the Lemp family curse. So to kind of wrap things up, I'm curious, what do you think of the curse? Do you think it's a thing? Like, is it like the Kennedys, or
I mean,
what are we thinking?
The thing is, and this is from Colin Dickey's Ghostland, where he writes about the Lemp Mansion, and I love that book, highly recommend.
Good book.
Yeah, but he's basically like, you know, the Lemp family curse is really just like untreated mental illness. Is what's happening here.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I was also getting. Mm-hmm. Because it is truly tragic what happens to them, but it's not like plane crashes or boat crashes or this, that, and the other thing. It's keeping it in the home, which is why it's so haunted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So deeply haunted. So yeah, if you guys have any stories you know about the Lemp Mansion, or you just really have a beat on gun history and you can answer that question about the 38 revolver for me, I would be eternally grateful because I'm so curious.
Yeah, I guess there's always more history to learn, which is what I love about this job. I'm always learning things. Yeah. And then telling my friends the horrifying things, and then they're like, why would you tell me that?
Makes us very popular at parties.
The other day I was texting my friend about, oh, I don't know if I can talk about this. This is an upcoming episode.
No, we can't. Like, we can't. You guys are going to have to live in suspense.
I was texting my friend about some incredible history about some, like, toxins that I had learned. And she was like, it was, like, late at night. And then she texted me, thank you for telling me this bedtime story, which I'm choosing to take as a compliment.
You know what? I think we tell great bedtime stories. I think everybody should listen to lore right before they go to sleep. I cannot imagine anyone having anything but pleasant dreams after that.
Yes. Certified. No nightmares. Count on us.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, you guys all have to let us know. Thank you, Cass, for sitting down with us today. We are continuing with Cassandra Extravaganza for a few more episodes, so we'll see you guys soon.
All right. Take care. See you soon.
Sweet dreams.
Happy hauntings.
And that does it for today's episode of Behind the Lore. Many thanks to Cassandra for chatting with me today. A lot of folks don't know this, but Lore is actually part of a larger network of shows called Grim and Mild, and you can learn more about that and everything else going on over at one central place, grimandmild.com. On behalf of the entire Lore team, thank you for your constant and generous support and for letting us tell you our stories. And until next time, thanks for listening.